Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We want to understand it more fully, and then we want to do what you ask us to do. May your spirit be here in large measure, Lord. If there's some people still stirring and coming down, bring them soon, because this message, I believe, can change our hearts, even if we have heard it before, because we want each day to have that openness to you that will enable you to impact the world through us. Lord, we thank you for each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I had the announcement at Discovery's 08, please turn off your cell phones before we go on the air. Maybe I should have done that this morning, but I had the most embarrassing experience, Brad. I was speaking at the General Conference Week of Prayer. I left my bag right there on the front row, and while I was preaching, my phone started ringing. I didn't even look at my bag. I just left it alone. We talked yesterday about the harvest and those five words in the New King James. Jesus says, the harvest truly is great. It's great. And we understood yesterday that we need to ask the Lord of the harvest to open our eyes so that we can see as He does. Open our eyes so that one wayward woman or that one factory worker and his wife struggling with a terminal illness are not only of infinite value, but they represent a great harvest for the kingdom of heaven. But we also realize that there was a radical problem. And I take a half hour in the DVD presentation on that. The radical problem is that there are too few laborers. Actually, that isn't the problem. The problem is not that there are too few laborers. The problem is that there are too few laboring laborers. That's the problem. We have become, what was the word? Distracted. Distracted. And it is in the context of that radical problem that Jesus appeals to us to pray a radical prayer. I want to pray that prayer every day of my life, Dan. If I had not prayed that prayer the day that you called me, I wouldn't be going to Vancouver in February. Because God will always do more than we think we can do if we're willing. So what is this radical prayer? Open your Bible to Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to take a few minutes with you. I had the blessing as I taught this, we filmed it for the Hope Channel, to have an artist drawing a picture while I was speaking. That's on the DVD presentation that I want to give to you if you'll go do this in your local church. I also will send the 6 sermon manuscripts to you because some of you would like to preach this in your local church. In fact, Richardson was here yesterday with his little girl and he said, will you email me the 6 sermons? I'm going to preach them in my church. You will preach them more effectively in your church than I could because you know your church and you love your people. But I'll give you the 6 sermon manuscripts to do it because I believe this message is so important. Jesus says, Luke 10 and verse 2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, now you know exegesis and you know what the therefore is there for, right? It's connecting what he's just said with what he's about to say. Therefore, pray. Therefore, what?
Pray.
Now, English, well, there are several words in the Greek translated to pray. One can be to make a request, another to express a desire. This is the verb deomai. The verb deomai in the Greek means to beg. I want to impress upon your hearts this morning as evangelists and lay evangelists and pastors, I want to impress upon your hearts this morning that what Jesus is about to ask you to do is not praying as usual. The verb is deomai. And it means? Now, even if you didn't understand Greek, You could take a Young's Concordance and do a brief study on that verb. I'm going to take you to a few places where the verb deomai is used. Go back to Luke chapter 5. I hope you brought your Bible with you. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. We're going to move quickly today. I want you to understand what Jesus is asking. The verb is deomai. I'll just give you a couple of illustrations. You can read more in the book or watch it on the DVD. But I want you to capture this. Verse 12, Luke 5. It happened when he was in a certain city. Behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face, and, deomai is the verb, my Bible says, implored him. What does your Bible say? Begged him. That's the verb, deomai. Okay? Look with me in Luke chapter 8. Now, we could look at many references here. You go to your Young's Concordance, look up that verb, and you'll find a list of places where it's used. Verse 38 of Luke 8. Now the man from whom the demons had departed, this is the demoniac possessed with a legion of demons, the man from whom the demons had departed, the verb is deomai in the Greek, my Bible here says begged. I don't know why it says implored one place and begged another and pray in another. I think they're just trying to confuse me. The verb is deomai, and it means to this man, having been possessed by a legion of demons, is begging Jesus to go with him. I would too if I'd been possessed by a legion of demons and Jesus had set me free, wouldn't you? But the beautiful thing is Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Go back to your people and tell them what the Lord has done for you. Begged is the verb. You understand the intensity. We could look at many other references, but because of time, go back to Luke chapter 10. This is the verb. Because the harvest truly is what? Too few laboring laborers, I want you to begin to beg. Earnestly plead. Pray the Lord of the harvest. The verb pray there, deomai, is in the imperative. That's a command. It's an earnest appeal. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It is the Lord speaking to your heart and saying, you, follower of me, begin to pray like you've never prayed before. Well, before you even know what the prayer is, you say, well, this is intense. This is more than that. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Or thank you for the world so sweet. Because there is a radical problem. Too few laboring laborers. I want you to earnestly beg the Lord of the harvest. You say, well, what do I beg? What do I pray? What is this radical prayer? And here the translators fail us. I've asked people to tell me from Spanish and from the language in the Philippines and from, I've asked them to tell me, maybe it's because they all translate it from the English Bible. There is only one scholar in Australia who just came out with a book called The Source. Interesting. Accurate translation. Who translates a portion of this text accurately. She still says, ask. It isn't ask, it's beg. But she gets the next part right. It's the only place I've seen it in print. Why don't they tell us what Jesus said? Well, the English translators say, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. That doesn't sound too radical, does it? That's not what it says. Because the harvest is great, but the laboring laborers are few. I want you to beg the Lord of the harvest. Two, the verb is ekbalo in the Greek. Now, I've forgotten a lot of my Greek and even more of my Hebrew, but I know how to use a lexicon. I know how to open up the Bible. You can even use your Strong's Concordance. It will show you the two pieces that are put together. The verb balo means to throw. Take your Young's Concordance. Look up some examples. Casting the net out of the ship when they're catching fish. Throwing the seed out. Picking up stones to throw them at Jesus. Luke 8. The verb balo means to... It means to throw. Now, we're way off of send already, aren't we? Throw. The prefix ek, and you can look in Strong's, it will say made up of this and this, and you go, you've used the concordance. If you haven't, you ought to. You can't just trust what someone says, even the translator. You ought to study the Word of God for yourself. Isn't that right? The prefix ek means out. Ek. It means out. Now, if ek means out and balo means to throw, ek balo means to? See, it wasn't that difficult, was it? I want you to beg the Lord of the harvest to throw out laborers into His harvest. That sounds a little more radical than pray to send out laborers, doesn't it? Why don't they tell us the truth? Why do they make it so weak? Now, you take the verb ekbalo, and it gets even more troubling, more radical. More than 30 times the verb ekbalo is used to cast out demons. You know how Jesus cast out demons? He didn't like politely tap them on the shoulder and say, you know, I hope this isn't going to interrupt any plans that you have for the day. I know you're comfortable here. Shut up. Get out. That's a paraphrase of what Jesus said. That's pretty good translation, actually. The verb is ekbalo. You say, Derek, I'm not going to pray a prayer like this. What will happen to me? What will Jesus do to me? I tell you, He will turn your world upside down. Hallelujah. You want me to begin to beg the Lord of the harvest to throw me out into His harvest field? Ekbalo? Oh, there are a couple of other places where ekbalo is used. When Jesus comes to the temple and they have turned the Father's house into a house of merchandise. And the Bible says that He made a whip and He drove them out. Guess what the verb is? He drove them out. You say, Derek, I don't want to pray that prayer. I mean, we're having a nice time here at the West Point of Evangelism. Great presentation by Dave yesterday. My heart was blessed. You want me to give God permission to throw me out into His harvest field? What's going to happen, Susan? Where do we end up? Well, you see, here's the beautiful part. Because Jesus has walked the way before you. I was so startled. I love studying the Bible, by the way. That's one of the blessings of being a pastor. You can study the Bible. If you don't think that's a blessing, you're in the wrong job. We're blessed to study the Word of God. You know what I found out? I found out that Jesus prayed the radical prayer. I never knew that, Marvin. But I'm reading in the Bible. You know, I always read the after the baptism, I always would read Matthew. It says, and Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. You know that text? And then I read in Mark's Gospel, and it says, and the Spirit, guess what the verb is? The Spirit drove Him into the wilderness. Jesus is just beginning His ministry, and He has given the Lord permission to throw Him out into the harvest. Ekbalo. You say, no, I think the Holy Spirit drove Jesus against His will. Hello? Jesus prayed the radical prayer. He is asking His followers, as the 70 are going out, He's begging them to pray the radical prayer, to give the Lord of the harvest permission to do for them what was done for Him. Lord, throw us out into Your harvest. Now, I know we have a little problem in the English language, because throw out means to discard. That's not what this means. You're thrown out into the harvest. Are you with me? We're not being discarded. We are being positioned. Strategically positioned where the Lord of the harvest wants us to be. Now, I played a little basketball when I was young, but I really don't have the stature to play basketball, if you know what I mean. But I admire people who can play basketball. I bet that brother can play basketball, and Brad, you can probably play basketball too. And you know, I've watched some things, and one of the shots that I've seen, it's like 3 seconds to go, and the team's desperate, and there's one point, and he's at the halfway line, or she's at the halfway line, and I don't know if there's a name for this in basketball, I know there is in football, but whatever that half-court shot is, where they take the ball and they just go, you know? And everybody prays. Your team prays it will go in, and the other team prays it won't go in. Sometimes the Lord of the harvest, that half-court shot, will throw us way. The only thing, the difference between basketball and Jesus is Jesus always gets it through the loop. I prayed that prayer in Southern. I love Southern Adventist University. I prayed that prayer, and God uprooted me and threw me all the way to California. That's 3,000 miles. There's another shot in basketball. It's called a slam dunk. Can't do that either. But you know, they get the ball, and man, it's pretty exciting to watch it, I know. And then the guy comes up, I don't know if girls can slam dunk, I guess there are some, and gets the ball, and they go, woo! You know, and they do that. They jump a little higher than I did. And the ball goes straight down, right? I prayed the radical prayer last week. God took the ball and went, woo! He didn't make that noise, but that's what it felt like to me. I am not telling you that when you pray this radical prayer that you're constantly going to be... I just want to tell you, if God wants you where He wants you and you pray, God, I give you permission today to throw me out into your harvest field. If He wants you serving there, He's going to go, right here, Brad. Right here. If He wants you somewhere else, you say, but I'm pretty comfortable here. The Lord says, I know, but you're not doing anything here. How about me putting you where you can do what I want you to do? Time to beg the Lord of the harvest to throw out laborers into His harvest field. And I maintain in chapter 3 and in presentation 3 on the DVD that you cannot just pray that for someone else. God, I beg you to throw out Dave. Hallelujah. Well, I'll pray for that too. But you have my permission to begin with me. Lord of the harvest, I earnestly beg you to throw out laborers into your harvest field. And you have my permission to begin with me. I am blessed to know a woman of God who believes that with all of her heart. She's here today. And she's produced a powerful little tool. She doesn't have to do that. She could be retired, enjoying North Georgia. But God gave her a burden to write a tool to help us as we build bridges. And I'm going to share that video with you right now. I want you to just see what God's doing. I have a copy of this book for you absolutely free if you're the first 120 people to the back table. Take your time. Listen to what God's doing when we give Him permission to throw us out into His harvest.
Oh, you can just do something simple. Just smile at someone and say, hi, how are you doing today?
One of my teachers, Dr. Harold Meyer, he's been having us read this book, Bridges 101, and he had us do for a special assignment, just do something small that we could reach out and try to touch someone's lives. And for me, it was smiling at people. Now, that may not sound like much, but for me, I'm a very shy person, and so it's kind of hard for me.
But God threw him out. Really great about the book because it was always about reaching out to others in just little ways. It didn't always have to be like a huge, everybody look at me, this is what I'm doing. So it was really cool that it was just simple things that really got people's attention and showed them that they cared. And you were kind of like a witness in disguise.
But this helped someone out, and I'm glad to know that, you know, I could help someone impact and have a great day.
And last Sabbath, I got out of my comfort zone. I went to this apartment complex of a bunch of homeless people.
I took $1.25, which is how much it is for laundry, and I put it on top of the laundry machines, and I don't really know what happened. I came back, and it was gone, so I guess I made somebody's day.
So I just went and knocked on the person's door, me and my friend. He opened the door and had this really funny expression on his face, and I didn't know what it was. So later, we met him at church, and I asked him a question. I was like, so what was that all about? And he explained that that morning, he had actually been having his devotion, and he was just thinking about scripture and reading. And so he flipped on the TV, couldn't find anything he was interested in, and he was looking and just thinking, and he was like, I wonder where there's a church nearby. And right at that second, my friend knocked on the door, opened the door, and wow, there we are, asking him to go to church downstairs. So it was just an amazing experience.
It made me happy just to be able to think of somebody else and to take time out of my day to do that. It just made me happy and made me feel better about myself.
I can see that it actually does help people, lift people's spirits, and it's helped me as well. I just feel like, I don't know, I feel better, and it just makes me feel like a more, I don't know, nice person.
I encourage myself and the person that I helped. So that was really cool to be able to be used by God in something that seems so little but could have impacted someone so great.
It was just great. I mean, like, I'm not used to getting out of my comfort zone, but it was a wonderful experience.
Her book really challenged me to think of something I can do for somebody else and to not think about myself.
My father died about 10 years ago, and she's been very lonely. And she said this book gave her the purpose and the reason for doing some of the things that she did. And so now when I try to get a hold of her, she's always busy doing something. I can't find her half the time. She's down at the neighbor's house, and she's cooking for them, or she's helping them clean house, or she's doing something to build bridges.
This summer I got a hold of a book. I'm holding it in my hands, Bridges 101 by my friend Ruthie Jacobson. So I'm thinking, okay, what's this book about? I open the book and I'm immediately engaged by its premise. The kingdom advances among friends. I've been an evangelist all my pastorate. I know about public strategic efforts to sow the gospel, and I believe in evangelism. But what Ruthie has discovered here is something that can unleash North American Adventism. By that I mean, you don't have to be a professional evangelist. You don't have to be a pastor. You can be just you, winsome, friendly you, and through some very practical, simple ideas, and Ruthie packs this book full of them, you can build bridges to anybody. Anybody on the job, anybody in your neighborhood, total strangers, you can begin to draw into the circle of Christ's friendship. I got so excited about this premise that I devoted one of my sermons in this fall's sermon series, Prime Time. I got 3,400 young adults here. One of the sermons was entitled, The Kingdom Advances Among Friends. How you can use Jesus' method, win friends for the kingdom. You know, we're looking to reach this entire continent in 2009. I wish this book, Bridges 101, could be in every Adventist home. This is the hour. This is the moment when through friendship, we draw, just as Jesus did, we draw into His kingdom. The kingdom advances among friends. Get the book and be blessed as I was.
I want you to know that we have 120 copies of this to give to you. They'll be at the table. Ruthie will be there to make sure you don't take more than one. But it's not just about the book. It's about someone giving God permission to throw them out. Weren't you encouraged to hear all those young people? I mean, that's awesome. But it happened, and this is not to bring credit to Ruthie. It happened because Ruthie was willing for God to throw her out. And I want to give thanks to God because Ruthie was one of the key people that finally encouraged me to write this book after 9 years. And God is going to use you. He's going to throw you out to where He wants you to be. And what He will do, we're going to talk about tomorrow, will test you to the limits. And you will know that if God is not with you, you will fail. So don't miss tomorrow morning, but we're going to sing our song one more time as we close. Don't miss tomorrow because we want to talk about radical challenges and radical dependence. But my prayer is that you would pray that radical prayer every day. Lord of the harvest, I earnestly beg you to throw out laborers into your harvest, and you have my permission to begin with me.
heart.
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, into his harvest. Harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest.
You know, if you want to give him permission while we're singing, just stand up. We're going to sing it one more time.
Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out.
Lord of the harvest, we're standing here giving you permission. In fact, we want to beg you, not because we have to change your heart, but because we need to give you permission to change ours. Amen. Lord of the harvest, we earnestly beg you to throw out laborers into your harvest, and you have our permission to begin with us. May your name be honored, may your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.